A blessed Sunday morning, GCF East. Welcome and thank you for joining us today for worship, even those who are watching online in their houses. Let us all rise and join me as I read Psalm 115, verse 1 to 3 and 9 to 18. Let us read. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nation say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Verse 9, O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down in silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us, Lord, to come into your name as come into your house as your children, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us the strength to be able to come here, and all those who are joining us at home, we thank you for the stable internet connections that you have given them, Lord. And Lord, as we give glory and praise to your name, may you find our worship, our sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, Lord. And all the praises and the glory be to your name, Lord. And this we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let us now join our hearts and our voices as we sing praises to our God.
Amen. Good morning po muli sa inyong lahat. Good morning, church. In Galatians 2:20, we read, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's sing this verse. Yet not I, but for Christ in me. Join us in singing.
Jesus, my Redeemer, there is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. church, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to honor from the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my dream. All the chains are released, I can sing, I am free at night, but through Christ in me. I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home, and day by day I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only
us, and the life we have to live is His life. And as we live that life, discouragement, trials, testing will come to us. It's a reality. But we know we should never fear, because He will hold us fast. Let's sing this song. He will fast.
Will hold me fast. been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Race with him to endless night. He will hold me fast till our faith is turned to sight.
God's people say, amen. Amen. You may all take your seat.
For our reminders and announcements for today, our health and safety protocols during worship services. Let us always remember the following safety protocols as we continue to gather in person here in our church. Always keep your face mask and face shield on and be mindful of physical distancing. If you have not done so, make sure to drop your contact tracing form after writing down your temperature in it in the designated drop box before leaving the premises. Kindly exit the sanctuary right after the service. If you must socialize, pick an area that is not congested and has free airflow. For your own safety, we encourage you to bring your own filled water bottles to church. Please make sure that the covers are secure so as to avoid cross-contamination. Water dispensers will not be available. Thank you for your understanding. Remember to always reserve a seat for in-person services each week. Only 100 seats are available on a first text, first served basis. Once the 100 seats are filled up, you will be given priority for the following week. Only those ages 15 to 65 will be allowed. Text your name to the following cell phone numbers at 0922-246-1282 and 0915-703-3042. Please reserve early, preferably before Sunday, so we can prepare the contact tracing form early on Saturday. Cancel your slot as soon as you know you are unable to make it, so others can take your place. We have our online Children's Sunday worship. We would like to remind everyone that we have an online Children's Sunday worship. Videos are posted at 7 a.m. on the GCFE Sunday School Facebook page. Encourage your children ages 15 and below to be part of this special time of worshiping the Lord. If you have been attending this church and the Lord has been working in your heart to be part of the body of Christ here in GCF East, please see Pastor John so that he can include you in the class. Please be assured that Pastor John will get you to speed for you to catch up with the ongoing class. We are inviting all young adult ladies to join this virtual study via Zoom every Saturday, starting at 2 p.m. Right now, they are engaged in the study of the Gospel of John. To join or for more information, please text or Viber Sister Lay Porzuelo at cell phone number 0916-912-0413 or Sister Cindy Dolormente at cell phone number 0927-163-8707. Saint Anthony Homeowners Association car stickers are now available in the administration office. Please see Deacon Dennis Edu to purchase the car stickers for 150 pesos each. Our monthly youth conference will be held today right after the service, and it will be through online Zoom meeting. Let us encourage our youths to attend this conference. Thank you. Okay, this is now the time that we recognize our brothers and sisters or friends who joined us for the very first time in worship. If this is your first time to have joined us for worship here in GCF East, please stand from where you are seated so we can recognize you and welcome you while singing our welcome song. Anyone? From my left, from my right, in the middle. Okay. So let us all stand, please, and let us greet one another with a smile, with a wave, or even with a bow as we sing our welcome song.
Welcome to the family. We're glad that you have come to share your life with us as we grow.
Thank you. You may all be seated. As we give our offering this morning, let us be reminded of what was written in Psalm 37, verse 21. Psalm 37, verse 21 reads, "The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives." One of the many marks of a righteous person is being generous. Other translations put it as being gracious. The manifestation of their generosity or graciousness is through their giving. Let us now give our offering to the Lord for the work of His ministry and be reminded that it is a righteous act done for His glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us, Lord. We thank you for all the blessings that you have given us, Lord, whether it be physical or financial and everything that you have given us, Lord. We pray that you give us the right hearts to be able to give to you. And may you use all the offerings and tithes for your glory and for your ministry, Lord. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have been doing so since we started meeting face-to-face, we request that you drop your offering to the offering box located near the entrance of the sanctuary. For those of you watching the live streaming of this service, you can still give your offering through our GCF East BPI Peso current account number at 4091-0042-03. And we also have our UCPB dollar savings account number at 1115-2000-0636. GCF East PayPal account you can access at gcfeast.org/give in our church website. Thank you and God bless.
Before we sing our next song, let me read some verses. In Romans chapter 8, it's written, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how he will not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, he was raised, and who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Christ. Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's all rise. Let us sing those verses. God is for us.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Kindly turn your Bibles to Psalm 132. We are now in the last three songs of this collection of 15 songs. And the song before us is the longest of all the psalms. So I'd like to invite everyone to please stand as we read all together this beautiful song as we get ready to study God's Word. Psalm 132, a song of ascents. Remember, O Lord, in David's favor, all the hardships he endured, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob, I will not enter my house or get into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of Ja'ar. Let's go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priest be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not turn away your face of your do not turn away the face of your anointed one. The Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priests I will clothe with salvation, and her saints will shout for joy. There I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but on him his crown will shine. May God bless the reading of his word. You may now take your seats, and let's come to the Lord in prayer. Loving God, it is indeed an encouraging thought to be embraced by the truth that if the Lord is for us, who can be against us? And in this struggling times, we need that assurance, oh God. We pray that you would just speak to us, speak to our hearts, allow us to indeed understand, give us illumination, oh God. Make us be willing, Lord, to be embraced and embrace your truth. Your word is truth. Allow the meditations of our hearts and minds and the words that would come out of my mouth glorify you and you alone, because this is what we desire, Lord, the most, to give you glory. This is our prayer with much thanksgiving in Christ's most precious name. Amen and amen. Magandang umaga sa lahat. So we are now on the 13th Psalm. Fittingly, itong Psalm na ito, Psalm 132, is sang upon the approach, the final approach of the pilgrims to the holy cities. Sabi natin, hindi po ba? These songs, collection of 15 beautiful psalms, are to prepare the heart of the one who wants to worship God. All three of these final psalms focus on Mount Zion, focus on Jerusalem, and it's appropriate because they are now in their final ascent, if you will. In these last three psalms, the pilgrims are almost there. They have almost arrived, and pay attention to what these psalms focus on. Psalm 132 focuses on the certainty of God's promise. Psalm 133 focuses on the unity of God's people. The beauty of God's blessing is what we would see in Psalm 134. We said that we saw a pattern in these 15 songs. A pattern of five sets of threes, where we would see trial, trust, triumph, trial, trust, triumph. This is the fifth psalm of trouble. This is the fifth psalm of trial. But if you would take note of it, there is very little trouble. We have gone a long way. Diba? Compared to the first four troubles, there is trouble, but it's not that much trouble. If you would look at in your Bibles, we see in verse 1, remember, O Lord, in David's favor, all the hardships he endured. There is trouble. There is hardship. There is struggle in this fifth psalm of trial. But listen, it quickly moves to the trouble, to God's amazing promises to David. And let me just tell this, friends. It speaks of God's promises to you and me as well. God had already put in David's heart the resolve to identify the problem. He desired to have a permanent location for the Ark of the Covenant. In studying this psalm, we need to have a good grasp of the Old Testament. So let me just take a jet tour. This psalm speaks of King David, as well as the greater David, the sovereign king of all. here in this psalm, we would hear of our sovereign king's relationship with his anointed earthly king, David. We would see this special bond, this special intimacy, this special relationship between God, his anointed king, Israel, and it would go beyond, dear ones. Now, some commentators say that this was written by David. But if it were so, then David could have written his name explicitly, a Psalm of David, right? As the author of this psalm. As we look at verse 1, we see David's name, but referred to by the writer of this psalm. So definitely this is not written by David. Some commentators propose that this was written perhaps during the dedication of the temple, or perhaps it was written by Solomon, the one who built the temple. As we see some phrases in this psalm, in the dedication prayer of Solomon when they dedicated the temple. You are in Psalm 132, right? Kindly turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 41 to 42, and compare that with Psalm 132, 8 to 10. Put your finger on Psalm 132. Let me read to you 2 Chronicles 6, 41 to 42. And now arise, O Lord God, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in your goodness. O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. Remember your steadfast love for David, your servant. We see the same in Psalm 132, right? We're not explicitly sure who wrote this, but it seems like it was written at the time when the temple was being dedicated, or perhaps by Solomon himself. It's also important to mention, dear ones, that not only does this song highlight, listen, the intimate relationship of God with David, it also magnifies to you and me the special presence of God, symbolized in the Ark of the Covenant. We would read that later. And to those of you who have been joining our midweek study, that's where we're at. The Ark of the Covenant. Remember, God, who is transcendent, who's also imminent, desires to tabernacle with his people. Yes, he is beyond his people, but he desires to fellowship. He desires to dwell with his people. Thus, we would read in Exodus 25, Yahweh giving instructions to Moses to build this dwelling place, this tabernacle. The Ark of the Covenant had accompanied the people from the foot of Mount Sinai. They were traveling to Israel through the wilderness journey and had been kept in Shiloh for the time of conquest. In a battle by the Israelites with the Philistines, the ark was captured by the Philistines, and they made that as their war trophy. In fact, if you would read 1 Samuel 4 to chapter 4 to chapter 7, we would read that the Ark of the Covenant was placed in the temple, if you will, of Dagon, yung kanilang Diyos. But we know what happened. We would see the image of Dagon falling, right? It was eventually returned to Israel, to Kiriath Jearim. We would read that later, the fields of Ja'ar, right? It rested there for 20 years. Imagine, friends, 20 years until David retrieved it and brought it to Jerusalem. This is the background of this beautiful song. Getting the ark, putting it in the right place, David desiring to build a temple for the ark, the resting place, and God promising David a house, a household, wherein the kingdom of his anointed would reign forever. This psalm unveils God's promise, God's plan for the ages, stretching, listen, from God's covenant with Abraham, God's dealings with Jacob, with David, with Solomon, all the way through revelations. When we would read and see and anticipate Christ ruling for all ages. Friends, in a broken world, in the world that we live in, even before the pandemic, diba? It is good to know that God is with us. It is good to know that this God who desires to be with his people is also a very faithful God who made promises and is certain to keep them. Therefore, ano man ang pinagdadaanan ninyo, whatever it is that you're going through, you can go to him. Pray to him. Praise him, because this is certain glorious truth that the Lord that we love, the Lord that we sang to, the Lord that we have cast all our burdens to, is the God who cares for you and is faithful. As we are fast approaching the first anniversary of the pandemic, diba? March yan, diba? A lot have been going on. Most of us, if not all, have gone through a lot. Some of you probably got this virus. Secret nyo lang. But seriously, some of us got this and we have loved ones from this church who passed away. There may be times when you question if it's still worth it to be praying to God. If it's still worth it to be praising God. Does he even care? Some of you may ask, reliable ba ang Diyos? Is God reliable? Friends, listen to Psalm 132. And let's be encouraged. As we go to this wonderful study, 18 verses. Again, this is the time wherein I praise the Lord that there's no second service. As we study the 13th Psalm in this collection of 15 songs, we will see the reliability of the promise-making, promise-keeping God. And we would see this in three ways. You would see the reliability, the faithfulness of God, as seen in David's promise to God, verse 1 to 9. We would see the faithfulness, the reliability of Yahweh as seen in God's promise to David, verse 10 to 12. We would see and we would be encouraged that God is indeed faithful as seen in his promise to us, 13 to 18. Three headings in this beautiful song. Let's now look at the first heading. Kindly look at verse 1 and 2 as we are blown away with this faithful God in the promise that we would hear that David would make towards God. Remember, O Lord, in David's favor, all the hardships he endured, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. Now, when we read and hear remember, that word remember pertaining to God, that does not mean that God forgot. Okay? Surely an omniscient God knows everything. But all throughout Scripture, we would read and hear, and God remembered Abraham, and God remembered Noah, and God remembered Rachel, and God remembered Hannah. Definitely this all-knowing God knows everything. So ano ibig sabihin nun? What does that mean? That the prayer is for God to remember. The writer was actually pleading to Yahweh, praying to Yahweh to remember. That is to call to mind what he already knows, but pleading him to act upon it. The writer was saying, Lord, you know this already, but kindly act on this. Notice that the psalmist mentions capital O-L-O-R-D, right? That's Yahweh. The covenant-making, covenant-keeping God, the one who is self-existing, the one who is self-sustaining, therefore all-powerful to do everything and anything. And what did the writer ask Yahweh to remember in behalf of David? Remember, O Lord, in David's favor, in behalf of David, all the hardships he endured. Sabi ng writer, please, Lord, kindly remember And please act on this. All the hardships that he endured. What do we mean by hardships? We can probably define David's life as a life full of struggles. Diba? Anointed to be king, pursued by the reigning king. When he became king, he was pursued by his son. So he had lots of troubles. He had lots of hardships. But I think it refers to the immediate context found in 2 Samuel 5:2-6, where we read of David's conquest of Jerusalem and his relocation of the ark to Jerusalem. Right? Let me share with you what Derek Kidner comments about this hardship. He said that hardships involve the heart searchings of David in the process of transporting the Ark of the Covenant from the Philistines to Jerusalem. And that heart searching includes the shock and distress David felt at the death of Uzzah. Right? Remember, they were transporting the Ark of the Covenant from the hands of the Philistines. It was prescribed by the Lord God that the Ark should be carried. Kaya may mga poles, di ba? It should be carried, but they placed the Ark on the latest mode of transportation then, a cart. And remember, Uzzah put his hand on the Ark of the Covenant to hold it in place because the oxen pulling it stumbled and God struck Uzzah dead. And remember, what did David feel after that death? And David was angry because the Lord had broken out against Uzzah. And because of that, he saw the death. This is part of the hardships. This is part of the heart searchings. And because of that, David got afraid. And so they decided to keep the Ark of the Covenant in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. Because natakot nga si David. And God blessed the household of Obed-Edom. And so after 3 months, they decided, let's continue on. Let's transport this Ark of the Covenant. The heart searching also involved not just the shock and anger and perhaps confusion of David. Why would God do this? It also involved the joyful dancing of David in relief. David danced before the Lord when the ark was arriving in its dwelling place. The psalmist, as he writes this, is recounting, is rehearsing in his mind David's motives for getting the ark. After hearing what happened to Obed-Edom, the guardian of the ark, David immediately sought to bring the ark back. And mind you, friends, David did not do that just for the blessings, but for God's glory. Going back to Psalm 132, the psalmist was saying, remember, O Lord, in David's favor, all those heart searchings, all the struggles, all the mixed emotions, all the hardships he endured, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. Verse 2, dear ones, highlights for us David's God-centered resolve. As, listen, he would now make a vow. He would promise God now. And what was it that David vowed to the Lord? Look at verse 3. I will not enter my house or get into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Verses 3 to 5 shows us David's resolve to complete this task quickly. Remember, David, in 2 Samuel 7, built for himself a beautiful house, a mansion perhaps, a beautiful castle. But he was convicted. He said, see now, I dwell in a house of cheddar. But the ark of God dwells in a tent? Surely this is a God-centered conviction. So, having been convicted of this, he desired to build a grand temple for Yahweh, the real King of Israel, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But David was told by God, no, no, it's not you who's going to build me a house. It's going to be your son. As a warrior, David has a lot of blood on his hands. So his son will be the one who will build the house. David secures the site. He found a site, a place, a construction site, if you will, for the temple, Mount Moriah, prepares detailed plans for the building, gathers for himself the materials, gold, silver, bronze, and precious stones, and awaits Solomon to begin the actual construction. Friends, the figure of speech here that was used by the writer illustrates for us the zeal of David for God's glory. David made a temporary dwelling place. Yes, it's now with them, with the Israelites, but it's in a tent. So he desired to build a permanent structure. But God said Solomon would accomplish this. Look at your Bibles again. I want you to notice that God is called what in verse 5? The Mighty One of Jacob. Underline that or highlight that. Right? It's mentioned actually twice in this psalm. That is an unusual name for God. You know, it only shows up 5 times in the whole Bible. Genesis 49:24, Psalm 132, verse 2 and verse 5, Isaiah 49, verse 26, and Isaiah 60, verse 16. So let's ponder a bit. Why is David, or why are we reading the Mighty One of Jacob here? I believe the reason why we read this here is because David made a vow to build a house for the Lord, and Jacob did the same before. He desired to build a house for the Lord. Remember Jacob, diba? Who was his brother? Esau. He was running away from his brother, who is after him. Diba? Then he slept outside with his head on a stone. While he slept, he had a dream about God and a stairway or a ladder, diba? So Genesis 28, he had a dream. And on that dream, he saw angels going up and down, up and down, up and down. And in Genesis 28, verse 16, we read, Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? Wow, this is a beautiful place. God is here. I saw a vision. I saw heaven. This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone, yung unan niya, the one that he placed under his head, and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, Bethel, house of God. Right? By the way, the same location was the location wherein Abraham himself put up an altar when he first traveled to Canaan, Genesis 12, verse 8. In Genesis 28, verse 20, we read this about Jacob's conviction. Then Jacob made a vow. David made a vow. Now we read in Genesis 28, pertaining to the Mighty One of Jacob. Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. So like David, kagaya ni David, si Jacob also made a vow to the Lord to make a house for God. David wanted a castle, a palace. Si Jacob, pillars of stone lang, right? But both desired to have a dwelling place for the one who is sovereign and beautiful and majestic. Now in Psalm 132, dating back 900 years after Jacob, we see David making a promise to find a dwelling place for the Lord. Tignan niyo yung verse 6. As the psalmist goes on, "Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of Ja'ar." Sabi ng psalmist, David and perhaps his men heard about the ark's location while they were in Ephrathah. And they heard that the Ark of the Covenant was in the fields of Ja'ar. What is another name for Ephrathah? Bethlehem. The city of David, the city of Jesus. They found the ark to be in the fields of Ja'ar. It's in Kiriath Jearim. Literally, they found it in the woods. Sa gubat, nila nakita yung Ark of the Covenant in a very thick forest. Think about this for a moment. Why is it there? Kidner comments on this. The search for the ark in verse 6, as for something almost totally forgotten, brings out the fact that, as David puts it in 1 Chronicles 13 verse 3, we neglected it. Who was the king then? Saul was the king, and he had no idea at all. He had no love at all. David became the king. It was gone. And David was saying, we totally forgot about the ark. They neglected the ark. I like how Eugene Peterson paraphrases 1 Chronicles 13 verse 3. And he said, quote, "The chest that was out of sight, out of mind during the days of Saul." It's amazing. It's amazing how those who claim to be followers of God are actually neglecting God. We read this here. God is everywhere present. We know that. But God made his special presence known in this symbol, in the Ark of the Covenant. It manifested God's presence, God's power, God's provision. It was the place wherein God meets with his people, where sin is atoned for. Here the high priest would make sacrifice in behalf of the people once a year on the Day of Atonement as he sprinkled blood on the mercy seat. But we read here, as we dig deep, in David's day, no one seemed to miss the ark. This most vital item for worship, the only furniture in the Holy of Holies, this beautiful chest, diba? Made of acacia wood, overlaid with gold. In it were the tablets of commandments, yung staff ni Aaron, a jar of manna. No one seemed to miss the special presence of God during their time. They did not miss the work of atonement. They did not miss the ark because they did not miss God at all. We're reading the Old Testament. Let me just mention the problem of spiritual neglect. Many people don't seem to care about the special presence of God, nor do they seem to care about Jesus at all, his work and what he stands for. Many in the church go through the motions of doing the work of God apart from God himself. Many people teach about Christianity but not live out Christianity at all. I was just wondering if God's special presence, I don't know what it symbolized nowadays, if God's special presence was removed from us, would we still continue? Would we still love him? Would we still worship him? I pray that as David's conviction was to seek a final resting place. Not because the Ark of the Covenant is anting-anting or amulet or a lucky charm, but because he desires God's glory, I pray that we see the necessity of prioritizing the most important thing, God and His Word. Go back to Psalm 132, verse 7. Let us go to His dwelling place. Let us worship at His footstool. Verse 8, arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. In verse 7 to 8, the worshipers set their faces to Jerusalem for worship. Diba? The language here portrays great passion for worship. They desire to worship God. The Lord's footstool here refers to the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolizes the earthly rule, the sovereignty of God. So imagine, we are those who are journeying towards the mountain in the holy festivities. So as we are walking towards Jerusalem, we are actually rehearsing for ourselves as we read this, as we sing this, what the ark went through, as the ark traveled from Obed-Edom's house to the dwelling place in Jerusalem now, referred to in verse 8 as the resting place. Imagine the joy that they felt. Imagine the conviction that they had. Can you imagine their prayer? They probably were praying, Lord, kindly not let that happen again for us to neglect you. Lord, please always visit us. Always dwell in us, with us. Please, Lord, allow us to magnify your presence. Allow us to just prioritize you and worship you. Arise, Lord. Sabi nila. The people are actually praying for the Lord to be the Lord of their household, of their community. People also prayed for the priests. Verse 9, let your priests be clothed with righteousness and let your saints shout for joy. I was just thinking, why were they praying for the priest? Going back to the context, the priest, diba, should have carried the ark. But we don't know. We can speculate because of pragmatism, perhaps. Taking advantage of the latest technology. Maybe laziness. They put the ark on the cart. And we know what happened then. Fittingly, they prayed for the priest to be clothed in and with righteousness. That they do their work faithfully, dispensing blessing and glorifying God. And in response, the godly, your saints, shout for joy. It reads, verse 6 to 9 pictures for us a celebration. Diba? The ark was in the woods. We found it. We transported it. We now have a dwelling place. Praise the Lord. God's people indeed were celebrating. It's very fitting. Kasi diba, in the context of this being one of the songs of ascents, they're almost there in the temple. Friends, the whole picture in this first heading is the joy that these people had, the pure worship that they had before the Lord. Now, very interesting nga, as I've mentioned a while ago, Solomon's dedication, yung prayer niya when he dedicated the temple in 2 Chronicles, closes in the prayer that we read here in Psalm 132. And so in Psalm 132, dear ones, we find not just the pilgrims, right, as they are traveling, coming home to Jerusalem. The ark is coming home to Jerusalem. God's presence is going to be there. We neglected it for a time. We were focused on ourselves. And now, with God's grace, it's coming home. It's a celebration indeed. And as the pilgrims traveled to Jerusalem to worship the Lord for the holy festivities, They remembered the path that the ark went through many years before them. That's the first heading. Now, you may ask, how is David's conviction and promise show us the reliability and faithfulness of God? Diba? That's our title. The reliability of the promise-making, promise-keeping God as seen in David's promise to God. How can we see that? What made him promise this? What made David promise God, I will make a permanent dwelling place for you? Definitely he was praying. He was thinking about the faithfulness of God to Jacob. Diba? He was definitely thinking about God's faithfulness to his own life. I'm a shepherd boy. I'm boy number 8. Now I'm king. The previous king wanted me dead. I'm still alive. And as we are talking about the Ark of the Covenant, diba? It points all the way to God's desire to tabernacle with his people as seen in Exodus 25. And the writer of this song, this beautiful song, along with the other pilgrims with him, understands that this promise made by David is grounded in the truths about God's faithfulness to his people in the past. And so they too can be certain that Yahweh is reliable, that Yahweh is faithful. He has the historical records to prove it. And dear ones, if you are tired, and if you're questioning God, open Scripture and be blown away by God's faithfulness throughout the ages. Read all the way to Revelations and be blown away by how he would fulfill all his promises until we reach glory. You can trust him in whatever situation you are now. Practically, the Bible tells us that God also remembers all of your trials and hardships. Hebrews 6, verse 10. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. As you are serving him, as you are loving him, as you are fighting for that conviction amidst the pandemic, be reminded that he remembers all our heart searchings. What a great God we have, diba? Who chooses not to remember our sins, but remembers our heart searchings for his glory. Do not ever forget that. God is reliable. We have his records to prove it. And this leads us to the next heading. As we move along in this psalm, we now move from the vow that David made to the vow that God made for David. Kindly look at verse 10. For the sake of your servant David, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. Here we see the writer returning to the original plea. Diba? What was his original plea in verse 1? For the sake of your servant David, remember his hardships. Right? He desired a favorable hearing on the basis of David's, his servant, and his sufferings. And the writer, this psalmist, asked God not to turn away or not to reject his anointed one. The anointed one in David's line. Again, friends, this verse is part of Solomon's prayer as he dedicated the temple. In fact, it is in a condensation of the final two petitions in his prayer, 2 Chronicles 6, 42 again. Let me read this again to you. O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. Remember your steadfast love for David, your servant. Again, immediate context. The anointed one here refers to the present king. In this case, Solomon himself. Diba? But in the context of the whole Bible, who is this pointing to? Anointed one. That word is the word Messiah, Messiah. Which persons do we read in Scripture that are anointed? Kings are anointed, diba? Priests are anointed. Prophets are anointed. Do you know of anyone who is prophet, priest, and king? This is a prayer not to reject the present king, of course, but also this is a prayer, and that was fulfilled through and in Jesus Christ. That word servant, diba, sabi niya, for the sake of your servant, David, your servant, the servant of the Lord. Who in the Bible are called servant of the Lord? Israel. At times, they're called servants of the Lord. The prophets are called servants of the Lord, diba? Particular persons are called servants of the Lord. In Isaiah, there's a great servant, the suffering servant. Friends, this is pointing to Christ, the great suffering servant, the one who is Messiah, the anointed one. But notice that Solomon or whoever is reigning seeks God's favor not on the base of himself. Diba? On whose behalf? For the sake of David, he said. Dear ones, that is glorious. Because in like manner, we approach the Holy of Holies, we approach God not on our own basis, but through this suffering servant, this great servant, through this Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the greater David, the root of Jesse. And so we're reminded of God's promise of the Messiah as early as Psalm 132. The king was praying. Listen to the greater king whispers to this anointed king. Verse 11, the Lord swore to David a sure oath. That is glorious. Underline that word, sure oath, from which he will not turn back. One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne. After reading David's oath in verse 2, we now read of God's promises in verses 11 to 12. God's promise to David, as seen in 2 Samuel 7, it's a sure oath, this song says. A trustworthy oath. God assures David, the psalmist, and us that David's son will rule forever. Now, if you look at that word in verse 11, to not turn back or revoke in other translations, did you know that that word is the same word that we find in verse 10? Go to verse 10. For the sake of your servant David, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. Verse 11, the Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. So verse 11 is the answer to the prayer of verse 10. Please do not reject. Yes, I will not reject, God said. Look at verse 11 again. The Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. Who? One of the sons of your body, from your loins, David, I will set on your throne. This is a sure oath. that God would not reject or turn away this promised one, the one who would rule. If this is a sure oath, this make this promise an unconditional oath. Tama? It's sure. Therefore, it's unconditional. Tama? Are you getting me? But if you look at verse 12, there seems to be a condition. Look at verse 12. If, condition kagad yan, di ba? We read in verse 11, this is a sure oath. I will not reject. Definitely, you would have someone who would rule forever. A sure oath. But then we read verse 12, conditions. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne. And I love that kind of tension there. It's unconditional. It's a sure oath. Pero may condition? Ha? Huh? The king and his heirs must keep the covenant. They must live according to God's word. But we know that David's descendants failed. Solomon started off well, di ba? He did. In fact, when we were discussing in Exodus, he went to the burnt altar and offered 1,000 sacrifices there. We don't know how long that was that he was offering there. From 1,000 sacrifices, we know that Solomon had 1,000 women. 700 wives and 300 concubines. Yes, there were good kings in the line of David, but most of them failed miserably. You see the tension? Unconditional oath, but there's a condition. How is this tension resolved? An unconditional promise, yet there are conditions. Christ fulfilled this tension. Christ resolved this tension finally. We know from history that the monarchs displayed the need for a better king, a greater David. And in Jesus Christ, we indeed have the better king. Jesus is the fulfillment of the unconditional promise. The Son of David will reign forever. And he is the fulfillment of this conditional promise. He and he alone kept the law perfectly. Di ba ang galing? In Peter's Pentecost sermon, he proclaimed Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promise to David. This risen king now who is seated at the right hand of the Father. The exalted Messiah, the suffering servant. The one who would save those who would believe in him is the fulfillment of God's promise to David. David promises God in verse 1 to 9. In return, we read God promising to David in verse 10 to 12. Both points to the faithfulness of God. It has historical backing. And in the context that this was written, it also points forward or looks forward to the one who is the anointed one, the suffering servant, the Messiah, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And this brings us to the last heading. God's reliability and faithfulness was seen as David promised to God, and that promise was made out of the conviction as he saw God's track record. We see God promising to David, the tension of being an unconditional oath to a conditional oath fulfilled in Christ. Now we read about God's promise regarding Zion, God's promise to us. Look at verse 13 to 15. This is the answer to the previous longings that we read in verse 1 to 10. And as we read this, as I read this with you, As you read along, kindly take note of the I statements. 13. For the Lord has acted, for the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I. These verses tell us that God was the one who chose. He chose Zion, the people of God, to be his people, to be his ultimate dwelling place. And dear ones, Zion is not just pointing to the physical city of Jerusalem. On Mount Zion, in the whole scope of Scripture, Zion refers to anyone who believes in God, anyone who loves God. The Lord has chosen Zion. The people can rest. They can be secured. Are you anxious? Let us be secured. The Lord has chosen his people. He has decided for his dwelling place. And we read in verse 13 to 15, God's provisions, diba? And what kind of provisions? Verse 15, abundant provisions. But before you accuse me of preaching prosperity gospel, yes, well, we read abundant provisions, right? More than the provisions, it speaks of a much greater blessing. What is it? God's presence, right? Kasi, with God's presence are blessings. Remember, 3 months nagstay, Obed-Edom, Pinrasper, right? The blessing of God's presence. Verse 16, her priests I will clothe with salvation, and her saints will shout for joy. Verse 16 contains a specific answer to the prayer in verse 9. What was the prayer in verse 9? Please, Lord, let your priest, we've learned our lesson. We neglected your ark. We abandoned your presence. Please, Lord, let your priests be clothed with righteousness and let your saints shout for joy. Her priests I will clothe with salvation and her saints will shout for joy. Verse 17 to 18 contains the answer to the prayers that we read in verse 1 and verse 10. Verse 1, remember, O Lord, in David's favor, all the hardships he endured. Verse 10, for the sake of your servant David, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. Listen to the answer. Verse 17, there I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but on him his crown will shine. Now, before you use these phrases and try to be biblical, we need to have context, okay? I don't want people to be going to me, hey, one of your members told me, hey, may a horn grow for you. Mahirap yon. We need context. We need cultural background. The people who were reading this understood that horn symbolizes strength. Huwag niyong gawin yun, ha? Text niyo, may a horn come out of your forehead. Unicorn, no? The people reading this understood that the horn symbolizes strength. The horn was, diba, the embodiment of the strength of an animal. In the future, the Lord will raise up a strong, saving king. This brings to mind, diba, the promise of God in Jeremiah 23, raising a righteous branch. The king. We read also that it speaks of the lamp. God promised a lamp for Israel that is to preserve the dynasty. Perpetual ang pagningas ng ilaw. Finally, we read the Lord promised the king's crown will shine, symbolizing glorious rule. Again, if we know the history of the kings in Israel, we might wonder who personifies this. The answer is Jesus, the great king, the suffering servant, the one who brings perfect justice, abundant provision. And so if you're feeling down, anxious about anything, we read this. I hope you're encouraged. Dear ones, we read this psalm and we see David and God and those who are going to the holy city for the holy festivals. But what we see here is in the greater scheme of redemption is Christ, the only one that we need. God remembered the afflictions of David. And so the individual Christian can take comfort that God remembers all the afflictions endured unto His glory. Tama? The afflictions of David always suggest the afflictions of the greater David. That God would remember the far greater afflictions of the far greater David sustained for the sake of salvation in the days of his humiliation. He accomplished our redemption and entered into his glory. It is speaking about us as well, dear ones. David, in his passion for God's glory, promised God to build him a house. God promised a greater promise, a greater household from which the greater David would come from. God promised his chosen nation that he will tabernacle with them. In the New Testament, these truths resound. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. We read of His birth, this baby boy in Ephrathah, the one who would come from the loins of David. In Matthew 1, verse 22, we read, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. In verse 9 of this psalm, we read the psalmist praying for the priest, let your priest be clothed with righteousness. The answer in verse 16, her priest I will clothe with salvation. In verse 9, we read, the saints shout for joy. In verse 16, as rendered by NASB, and her godly ones will sing aloud for joy. Dear ones, as we look at the New Testament, it tells us that this theme that we are looking at is fulfilled in our salvation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you, Christians, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We are the priests now, clothed in righteousness through salvation. We are the saints, God's covenant people who ever sing loudly for joy regardless of the situation. Because we know that He is reliable. Because we know that He is faithful. Because we know that all of His promises can be found in Christ. All of God's promises to us, His promise to dwell with His people forever, His promise to bless us with salvation, all of God's promises to us will be fulfilled, and all the more magnified in his reign in heaven. As we end, let me read to you Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." We jump to verse 22. Interestingly, we read, "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon." As we were reading Psalm 132, we read of the temple, the Ark of the Covenant, the lamp. In heaven, there will be no temple. No need of a sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day. There will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who are clothed in shame, as we read in Psalm 132, will never enter the city. But those who are clothed in righteousness, in Christ's righteousness, clothed in salvation, would receive all these promises. The dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. It's all here in Psalm 132. And amidst the struggles, amidst your pain, confusion, ano man yung pinag, yung mga bigat na daladala mo, we would see God's faithfulness from Genesis to Revelations, from earth until heaven. He is reliable, all right. He is reliable, all right. And that is just wonderful, especially amidst the suffering that we are in. Lord, we thank you for encouraging us in this lengthy song. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us today. Oh, we pray that indeed the truths in this beautiful song about how faithful you are would be seen in how we live our lives. There are troubling times, oh God. And in our frailty, you see us, Lord, getting scared. You see us getting angry. Angry at people, in fact, even at you. May it never be, O God, that we would forget that you have given us your word. You have given us your living word to attest to your faithfulness. May we, of all people, be seen and found as people of great faith, of great joy, ever regardless of our situation. We thank you for teaching. We thank you for blessing us. We pray that you would bestow upon us your blessing as we part ways temporarily. Bring us back next week. May the God who is infinitely, eternally, and faithfully good, the one who made promises from Genesis fulfilled all the way up to Revelations, see all of us living faithful lives regardless of our situation, because we know the God whom we serve, love, and adore is a very faithful God. May we be faithful as well. Wherever we are, wherever we go, whatever we do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. God bless you, everyone. Thank you for coming. I'll see you all next week. Ingat po kayo. God bless.